So, all right, Tikka Masalas, if you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you consider important to look at as a risk officer and why you think you would be a good fit for the role, just to help us get to know you a little bit better, we can just
All
kind of
right.
keep it general.
Gotcha. So I've kept up with Wonderland since October of last year. Bought in January and have been actively contributing members in the chat since. I have always tended to prefer constructive dialogue in my role as a community member, suggesting many months ago I came up with the idea of something in the same genre as a risk officer. I called it an ombudsman, but the point then was to have the role be a low trust, decentralized role where the responsibility is spread across checks and balances to ensure that any proposals coming through are free of bias and that voting on those proposals by the community can be done in an informed manner. And now Wonderland has sort of come quite a bit of a way, but we're back at the same spot. We're sort of deciding on electing an officer for this role now. So a bit about myself. I guess I'll answer both the questions of like what I think someone should be able to do in this role, as well as a bit about myself. So when it comes to my experience in finance, I'm fully admitting that my size is not size. Like if you have seafood at this table, so all bets are off. My experience in finance right now is mainly in managing my own funds, which don't exceed 200K, and in managing an informal fund not exceeding 1 mil, which I've been doing over the last half a year or a bit more than that. I'm working towards becoming a corporate lawyer, and I'm simply someone who's sort of avidly familiar with the economics of investments, tokenomics of projects, and through exposure, I've also come to understand the security and investment risks involved in projects. So what I think this job requires is that you be able to ask questions, which I think I'm fairly good at. You have to be able to ask questions to put to projects, ask yourself about proposals, about people, and about security, of course. And in that vein, I think that you don't need to have detailed, specialized knowledge about, say, software engineering. You can rely on software engineers by asking them questions. And I think that is the primary skill involved in this role. Okay, before I speak a bit too long, I guess I'll stop here and I'll let other people respond to the question as well.
Okay, thanks. Crocodile or Sifu, would either of you like to tell us a little bit about yourselves while Metal is away?
I think everyone here pretty much already knows my story, so I'll let Croc go.
Sounds good.
Hey.
Hi.
So basically, I'm an anonymous player in the scene. I've been in it for a few years now, actually a good amount of years. But for DeFi, like I've said shortly in my description, how I've started using the first quote unquote decentralized exchange, IDEX. Other than that, I want to talk about what a risk officer actually, what I think the role should be. Which I sort of mentioned, where I'm a neutral party, and I think most of the people here are neutral parties. Basically, we have no relation to anyone on the team, so we can actually perform a risk officer job without any bias whatsoever. I am a large holder of WMEMO, which I said in my description as well. So any risk that I see if with the protocol also affects me heavily as well. And
That's true.
what was the other question? Sorry.
Why you feel that you would be a good fit for the role, I guess?
Okay. Yeah, I manage a decent sized portfolio of my own money. Not Sifu's level, but it's okay. My size is okay size, I'd say. And I have a pretty good understanding of software engineering in general, plus just looking at Solidity code and making my own little scripts for to manage my own positions in DeFi itself, which are the risks that I consider as well. Let's see.
Okay, cool. We have one question that was submitted. Well, I can ask the two of you while Metal is away. Let me find it. It was, okay, assuming WIP 27 passes, will you be looking to submit investment proposals for Wonderland as risk officer? And if so, what do you think would be the best way to eliminate conflicts of interest in the process? If anyone wants to take that question first.
I can have my answer to that first. So I don't think that, in fact, I'm pretty confident that I won't be submitting any formal investment proposals if I were to be in the role of risk officer. And the reason for that is pretty clear. You can't approve or vet your own proposals very accurately. It's the same thing I would say for any other general conflicts of interest. If I were to run a protocol and a proposal for that were to come through, it would make sense for someone else to vet that. I can still provide input, but I think in general, this risk officer role should be relatively free of conflicts of interest. And that's not to prevent, that's not out of fear of something sinister. It's primarily to maintain the appearance of an objective vetting role so that there's confidence in the members of the role being carried out properly.
Right. Okay. Nettle, are you back? I see you unmuted yourself.
Yes, I checked in. I can do my introduction, or I could let Crocodile finish the question.
I can answer the question if you don't want to speak yet. So regarding investment proposals, at first I was sure that I would. I mean, my answer is I would not submit any investment proposals, but I don't really see anything wrong with the risk officer submitting it. Just as long as he has the same amount of information that needs to be provided with vetting the proposal itself. And I would say a risk officer should probably, and anyone in the team should probably have a higher standard, as in they only propose strategies with extremely high market cap coins, like a stablecoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum only.
Okay.
To just have no conflicts of interest with any smaller tokens or smaller farms.
Right. All right, Metal, can we switch over to you now so you can give us your intro?
Awesome. Good morning, everybody. I applied for the risk officer position for several different reasons. You know, my background is in the finance. I am a executive finance manager. I got my certified manager accountant. I'm going this spring for my certified financial advisor certification. I come from a background of analyzing portfolios with risk and seeing how well it is. I do have a decent sized portfolio with Pime, WeMo, but I also have spread my risk across different tokens. I have some with Pancake, I have some with Sushi, I have a few other ones that I put low risk amount just in case they do work out. I think I put like $200 in Doge Elon just for shits and giggles. I see the role of basically as the risk officer analyzing the proposals in front of you, how risky something is, how much money is we're putting it up, and being able to see what our APR is on that risk investment. That's my main objective. Now, on the question, would I propose investments? That is a very good question. Personally, I'm torn because, you know, there are opportunities that you, as a risk officer, you do see across. But I do understand as a risk officer, you're supposed to be a biased person towards a project. And I don't think I would.
You don't think you would submit proposals?
No, no. Okay. As the Tiki said, it's you have a once you find a proposal, I think there's a bias to it that you wanted it. And so when you have that bias towards, and we all have biases, it's inherited. It's just knowing what your bias is. So if you find a proposal to yourself, I think you're more biased to approve it or ask for it to be approved or letting it be approved. So that's why I do agree with Tiki that as a risk officer, you do not do proposals.
Right.
So that's a bit interesting. It seems like everyone here seems to believe that there would be a conflict of interest and bias that's not favorable for the holders if the RO is to submit proposals. I'm heavily invested and or an LP in every protocol that the Wonderland TOs have brought up. And I vet the protocols that I invest my own money into. I vet the protocols that I invest Shifu Vision money into. And in doing so, I was able to immediately explain the risks, all of the alpha, all of the tricks, potential exploits and verified contracts, pretty much everything associated with it, very efficiently, because I'm an investor in the product. I think that a situation where I propose a product that's high risk that I would not otherwise approve, but still invest my own money and Shifu Vision money into is a bit ridiculous. I think it would be detrimental to the protocol to not be able to view and vote on the best possible farms at all times.
Can I respond to Sifu's statement on that?
Absolutely.
Right. So I agree with you, of course. I think that we can still walk and chew gum at the same time, in the sense that we can admit, as you said, that being personally invested in something, of course, gains you knowledge in that protocol and whatnot, but at the same time that when you get Wonderland to also invest in it, it creates the appearance that there could be a chance you're using Wonderland for exit liquidity, that you are blinded by the risk because you are personally invested in it. I mean, these are both possibilities that can exist at the same time. So the point of having many different people doing different jobs in this Wonderland organization is to separate the appearance of these conflicts of interest. So the point is not to say that you are definitely, or that I am definitely, in a conflict interest position due to there being, you know, some kind of, you know, I'm personally investing in the protocol, I'm making the proposal, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is that we can avoid any of such appearance by simply decentralizing these roles across different people. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Sure, but the community proposals are not filled by any one role. We don't have a TM anymore. So this is supposed to be a crowdsourced attempt to find the best farms and best investments. In some situations, such as a tiny farm where Wonderland wants to ape in, which is very unusual because we'd be using such a small portion of treasury, which would not be worth the effort. Yeah, it could be an exit liquidity attempt, but that would come out very quickly, be seen by everybody, and result in my removal right away. I don't see that as being very likely. Most of the investments that we make are more like LP positions, not something that we market by. We don't really market by much that can be used as exit liquidity.
That's actually a pretty fair point. I think my only point in rebuttal to that would be that when you are in a position of risk officer, or you know, if you have multiple positions, the trust that people would sort of unfortunately blindly place in someone making a proposal like that would be a bit greater. And there would be slightly less checks by the voters on such a proposal. But I concede to your point that in general, it's true that there's pretty clear indicators of ill motives. So I think that, yeah, you're right. If an RO were to make a proposal like that, given the crowdsourced nature of the proposal, it's not as risky as I made it seem.
Okay, at this point, do we have any questions from the audience for these applicants? Anything you'd like them to touch on or clarify? We can take hands if anyone wants to raise their hand and come up on stage and chat with us. Ferengi? No, I'm not going to ask the Ferengi's question. I guess we'll have a very brief AMA today if nobody has any other questions for these folks.
I have a cheeky little point to make, actually.
Go for it.
So, okay. I mean this half jokingly, but also half seriously, which is regardless of whoever is voted in, I think the elephant in the room is, of course, that everyone is viewing this as a choice between Sifu versus someone they know less. I would put it to you that actually it would perfectly still be in Sifu's interests to continue sharing his opinions with the management of Wonderland, because he is the single largest stakeholder in Wonderland's success in by every metric. So this may not actually have to be a choice between Sifu or someone else. You could get the best of both worlds by voting someone else in. And yeah, it's a cheeky little point, but yeah.
Yeah, as I've said many times, I'm not going anywhere. Wonderland's my fam, so you guys have my support no matter what happens.
We appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Any other questions from anyone or any other comments that any of you gentlemen want to make or clarify?
I can't raise my hand, so I guess I'll just join.
What's up?
I missed part of it a little bit, but I was just wondering, I guess this applies to pretty much everyone. You know, we've talked about obviously risk officer stuff because, you know, it's an AMA about the risk officer. But I was just wondering if you guys would be willing to expand a little bit on what you see, your vision for Wonderland and how you contribute to that as risk officer or just a community member in general, I guess.
I can answer that first. So the question is asking about the vision that we personally have for Wonderland, right?
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm working towards being a corporate lawyer. My vision is kind of realistic in the sense that I am worried for the future in the regulatory sort of dimension. Wonderland is not a small entity. There are going to be increasing efforts to regulate the space. I think that kind of risk presents a significant challenge to Wonderland, one which we have made some efforts, thanks to your own proposals, and the team's proposals, to try and begin to address. But to the extent that I think Wonderland has a future, my vision is that it's a decentralized one where we continually try to break this DAO down into more and more contributive groups of people so that from the regulator's perspective, they don't see an unlicensed retail fund. They see something which is more community-based, something more novel, which is more difficult to regulate, and in fact may not have the same policy reasons to regulate at all. That's my vision for Wonderland. From a legal sense.
Cool.
Thanks, Tika.
My vision for Wonderland is to be able to generate about 30 to 40% APR on the investment, and the price of Wonderland going up slowly. Because that's what I expect in all my other portfolios. I'm not looking for it to all of a sudden reach $100,000 or $200,000 in price. I'm looking at it slowly be stable to grow and be able to provide its shareholder some good investment returns from the farms.
good goal. Any other crocodile or Sifu?
As for me, my vision is it's going pretty well. Just looking at the past, the few WIPs in voting right now, that's really what I envisioned Wonderland to be when it was said to be moving towards an actual DAO, you know, with the new, even though I may not agree with all the numbers, the treasury allocation, I like that there's like a set amount that we're setting away for like each investment, be it directional, stable. I like how the organizational structure is being done with, I think we're actually voting on members now to actually be closer to a DAO, basically. This is aside from any monetary of like price of W member or anything. That's what I think.
Right. Agreed. Sifu, any comment on this?
Not much to say. I mean, as you're all aware, my vision of Wonderland hasn't really changed. I've always wanted it to be a community-led quasi-fund. And that seems to be exactly where we are now, with basically both founders outed and the community that has been around through thick and thin actually giving a shit about the app in leadership positions now. There's no massive burn rate. No one's trying to leech and bleed this thing dry. I'm pretty proud of where we've come. As a risk officer, I continue to do what I'm doing as interim risk officer, which is trying to make sure all of our investments perform as we expect.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nell. All right, we have a few questions that were submitted in general chat, so I'm going to read those now. First, from Matt MacGyver, we have, would all candidates be comfortable transitioning in their position to a public, non-anon, fully affiliated role once Wonderland becomes a legal entity? What do you see your association being at that time?
I do apologize for interrupting. Can you repeat the question again?
Yes, the question was, would all candidates be comfortable transitioning in their position to a public, non-anonymous, fully affiliated role once Wonderland becomes a legal entity? What do you see your association being at that time?
So I think that depends. Wonderland becoming a legal entity is a very... I guess I'll say my initial position first, just for clarity. I intend to stay anonymous as long as there is a significant risk to the management of this protocol. Mm-hmm. When I say risk, I mean legal risk. But I think that depending on the kind of legal entity that Wonderland takes on, and depending on just legal advice given to Wonderland or individual management members, I would be willing to go non-anon, of course.
Okay.
I personally, if Wonderland does become a legal entity, I don't mind it becoming public. It would be the same thing as working on Wall Street. Everybody knows who you are. I do agree with Tiki as a lawyer. You know, it depends on the structure, what kind of company, and becoming docs also. You know, becomes compensation for that role of being docs, I believe.
Right. Crocodile or Sifu? Sifu is already doxed.
Yeah, I'm already doxed, high profile, and permanently connected to Wonderland, so it doesn't really make much of a difference to me as long as it's a non-leadership position.
This does not impact you, really. Crocodile?
Yeah, I would say my stance is pretty similar to Tikka Masala's in that I don't think I would mind, but for now, as long as if it actually becomes a public entity, yeah, I'll definitely go public. It doesn't really affect me.
Okay. All right, next question that was submitted in general chat is from Bamchika, and it is, would the candidates please describe how they think the rule works and what the most important part is? And then she also follows up with how much time you would spend daily and how available you are for this position.
I think that there's a pipeline of investment opportunities as well as proposals coming in internally from Wonderland now. The job of the risk officer is that, well, first off, the TOs can't actually propose anything without there being a risk officer. And the risk officer has to consider all the risks that an investment proposes, simply make those risks known to the Treasury Council, and where appropriate to the DAO. And then the investment decision makers can proceed to make their own decisions based on their perspective on the risks presented, the risks that they themselves consider, and their own perspective on the profits and losses of the opportunity. Oh, and as to the second question on how much time, I currently already spend at least 3 to 4 hours a day just in the crypto space, just researching, investing in, doing investment work. But if I were to be elected to this position, of course I could spend that time as well as realistically an additional 2 to 3 hours a day. But that depends on which life stages that I'm at. I think starting next year that would change, but I think we can stick to this for now. Yeah.
Thank you, Tika. Anyone else?
I do spend about an hour each day within the crypto space. I usually dedicate my time either when I'm supposed to be working, or I usually dedicate it after my kids go to bed. The advantage I do have is as being in Alaska, right now for me, it's only 10:30 in the morning. So while everybody's asleep, I'm still awake. Now, the first question was, what was the first question?
It was, would the candidates please describe how they think the role works and what the most important part is?
Okay, so I come from a financial background. I think the most important part of a risk officer is seeing the risk of it, you know, from a financial standpoint. Looking at it, analyzing the risk and going through that. I think that is what a risk officer does, is, and this is what I do on a kind of daily basis. Hey, we have, you know, we're right now working on insurance. The company I work for is shipping some products across sea. What's the risk of it? How much insurance do we need on it? That sort of thing applied to Wonderland is, hey, there's an investment in front of us. What's the risk on it? How much risk can we lose? And what's the interest on that risk?
Okay, thank you, Metal.
For me, I'll say that I think the role should just be one where it works alongside with very closely along with the team when they look at new strategies, with the most important part of the role just understanding a bit more on the risk side as compared to treasury operators or people that propose strategies if the new WIP passes, just to understand more risks that come with any investment with now only looking at the APR, APY. And as for time spent daily, aside from your own research that you should be doing as a risk officer to stay ahead of the game compared to everyone else, your work totally depends on how many investments the team plans to make in the near future, where you have to actually look even deeper into the protocol or coin or whatever.
Right. Thank you, Interior Crocodile.
I think the job entails basically looking at risks, all types of risk, not so much the yield or the potential for yield on an investment. So far in my time as an RO, I have been working closely with the TOs on their proposed strategies, commenting when there were talks of export risk on contracts, winter mute potential insolvency in our unsecured lending pools, issues with Ribbon Lend. I've commented on increasing our paperwork, essentially contracts when we make investments, to avoid another BSGG CTA situation. I've commented on regulatory risk, suggested forming a foundation and looking into other options as well. Pretty much I've gone across the board. It's probably much more than the job requires, but I seem to do that anyway. I'm online pretty much all day, every day. I don't sleep much since the liquidations. So I can't really imagine a situation where it takes me more than a few hours to respond to any DM.
Right. No sleep for Sifu. All right. I think we have one more question in the AMA channel. Can the candidates provide us with the top three risks to Wonderland and how they'll tackle these, or at least what you consider to be the main risk to Wonderland?
I can think of, whoa, hang on. Am I audible?
What was that?
Am I audible?
Yep.
Oh, for some reason I couldn't see that. So I mentioned one risk earlier, which was the regulatory risk. In terms of how to combat or how to approach that, we are in a very, very novel phase. While there are a lot of fund laws that could apply to us, it's really hard to see, like, from a practical perspective, which countries would want to enforce that. A lot of these things depend on someone actually bringing suit against someone, because Wonderland has the legal entity to someone in charge of Wonderland. But this is just such a novel area that the number one clearest thing we need to do is simply to get legal advice. The advice from whom it is, probably a US or UK, one of the top firms that do. The reason I say a top firm and not like a specialized crypto firm is simply because I don't think that these specialized crypto firms have nearly the kind of breadth that we need. Like, the kinds of areas of law that are touched upon by Wonderland include fund law, but also just much more than one area of law. So the regulatory risk is one big area. Second, I think, in terms of the portfolio that we have now, we already removed a lot of the risks associated with having too much exposure to volatile assets, especially after we sold, I think, ETH through Sifu? But yeah, we have relatively little volatile exposure for a crypto portfolio, especially. The kinds of risks that remain are that we are lending in controlled amount to a number of unsecured pools. So we have to continue to vet those risks, especially now as we see more and more information coming out about even large credible firms like Alameda potentially having some amount of risk of insolvency. I can't think of a third general risk on the top of my head. I could give you unspecified risks like smart contract risk and whatnot, but those are more specific to the individual protocols that we're invested in. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Tika.
Tiki hit it on the spot. The main concern for Wonderland is the regulations coming through the United States, United Kingdom, or any other country, especially with the size of our treasury. We are highly susceptible to being in the United States, it would be the SEC that would be involved in that to regulate. And that, I'm not sure how many people have dealt with the SEC. That is going to be wonderful. Sarcasm. Mm-hmm. And then we would have to not just have the SEC, then we would have to be more than likely, we would be required to be audited by a CPA firm. And so that would bring additional knowledge. I'm not sure how many people have dealt with annual audits with large firms, KPMG, Deloitte, all those guys. They're fun. But those people have a job, and they'll come in and look at everything. And so that's the first and most one is our risk to regulatory. I believe that, the current administration in the United States is looking and trying to see which funds should be regulated more. The other one is, as we saw with Tefra or however, USDT, the stable coin, where it got manipulated into crashing, and making sure that the coins that we do are in stable coins, making sure that they are actually stable and remain stable. And then the other risk is making sure that we are looking at new opportunities and we don't become insolvent.
Right. We're talking about the risks that Wonderland. Okay, so I would say in a broad scale, historically, you know, these DAOs have had a problem with misappropriation of funds, which is a broad risk. But I think that Wonderland's actually doing a good job tackling it with the structures it's proposing and everything. But for the investment risk, I agree with Tika as in the unsecured loans that we make, especially in a weaker market. I see the place for these type of loans, but I'm not really a big fan of them, especially when, the news of all these firms going under and everything.
Right. Okay. Sifu, any comment?
Nothing you'd really add. Regulatory risk is always there. Other DAOs have gone the route of forming a foundation in favorable jurisdictions, such as the Caymans. Seems to be working out quite well for them so far. I think, again, we should look into hiring expert legal advice to look into this in more detail. Other than that, the unsecured lending is always there. We always ensure that there is enough room in the pools for us to exit immediately in case of emergency, which we have done before. We also are very particular about which entities that we lend to. So this is not a situation where we're lending to FTT and Wintermute and so on and so forth. If there are rumors of any issues with any of our partners, we would be pulling right away.
Right, thank you. All right, I see one more question submitted in the AMA questions channel. I hear risk assessment for using our treasury to invest, but is Wonderland planning to develop new products? And if so, do we have the capability for risk assessment on the developer end? I can start by answering that and say that as of right now, there have not been any plans for developing new products. If there was going to be so, it would probably be something that was proposed and discussed and voted amongst the community first, as we are operating as a DAO now. And if we were to do so, then we would probably, of course, start off with an audit to make sure that anything new that was developed was, you know, properly checked for security. I don't know if any of you have anything that you would want to add to that.
Definitely a job for an auditor.
Oh, go ahead, Tifa. Sorry, was I interrupting you?
I was just saying it's definitely a job for a professional audit firm, not for a RO to be vetting the code.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was just going to add that, actually, this is a point that Sifu made. We need to have clearer and, in fact, have contracts at all, have written terms of agreement, have clauses that allow us to terminate the agreement, etc. Have time, sort of time schedules to ensure that if the person developing for us fails to meet those time schedules, that we can terminate without paying any additional sums or even get back what we paid. These kinds of basic protections in contract are important. Of course, to have a contract, we need to have some kind of legal entity, but this is my general position on future deals with other entities or deals involving other developers.
Thank you very much. I don't see, unless I missed any, but I don't see any other questions for you all. Does anyone else out there have anything they'd like to ask? I don't think so. I think we can probably... Well, Matt MacGyver is typing. Let's see what he says. But I think we can probably wrap this up now. I think we've covered everything. Thank you all so much for taking the time to be here and answer these questions and let the community get to know each of you better. Oh, Matt does have some questions for you. Hold, please. A couple related questions. Will you actively pursue tackling the broad legal risks if you were given the position? What would be some of your first steps in the process, and do you have any experience that may help in this area? In what kind of timeline do you believe it would be possible to engage communication with legal counsel?
I have dealt with lawyers. That's been before. Being in my position, I get the fun part of just handing off and finding attorneys, hiring, you know, here's the retainer, here's our issue, and doing that. Right now, my company is dealing with a state lawsuit over terminating somebody over being discrimination. And so we've had EPA lawsuits. It's something that I have personally have dealt with, those kind of issues where you find legal, you have it on retainers, you talk to the lawyers, you provide the information, and you let the lawyers do their job. That's why they're a lawyer. How quickly can it be done? I would say finding an attorney that specializes in our multiple different levels of it. It would probably take 2 to 4 weeks to finding somebody that could do it, then probably another 2 to 4 weeks to actually vet them. Not being an attorney or going to legal laws, I have always dealt with those issues by handing it off to lawyers. But I do not know the legalese language per se.
Thanks, Metal.
So I agree with what Metal said. I think that to be more specific, we would first be trying to find law firms which have good departments which have departments in securities law, investment law, financial advisory law, among other areas. We would also require a law firm which at least has some kind of multi-jurisdictional presence. And when we first approach, well, once we choose a few, when we approach them, the initial query won't be to solve the problem entirely. It would be to sort of right-size the legal questions that we're asking to narrow the scope, because the costs for these kinds of things run away very quickly. We should try and prioritize what we're asking them. So we should clarify the deliverables we want from them and which questions exactly we need to ask. Of course, this is a two-way process, so we can work with them to figure out which legal thing sort of issues are most pertinent for Wonderland, and then go from there. And depending on their own estimations of sort of how long they think, of course, it's very difficult for them to give specific numbers, but in general, whichever firm seems to fit best, especially in terms of being lawyers who understand crypto to at least a certain extent, we can go with them and we can sort of ask more questions as they come.
Thank you.
I think as a risk officer, the position you're in, you're part of the team now. So I don't think that the risk officer should be giving legal advice, especially if they don't have experience. So they should just be working with the team to find a firm or a group of lawyers or anything that has had experience in crypto, and we can vet them together with the team to see who can represent Wonderland the best.
Right. All right. We have one more question submitted. What do you consider risky in terms of stablecoins?
Well, my approach to answering this would just be to first consider the mechanism by which it's backed. We broadly have two kinds of stablecoins, fiat-backed and algorithmic, or some kind of hybrid between the two, like FRAX. There's also just sort of general considerations like track record, the organization behind it, or the investors behind it, the amount of liquidity that exists for it, the amount of sticky liquidity that exists for it, so liquidity that you can trust is there into the midterm or the long term. But in general, I think when it comes to stablecoins, there's very little reason to stray from the usual USDC, USDT, DAI, FRAX, because any newer stablecoins, to the extent that, you know, maybe they have higher yield or whatnot, which makes it an investment consideration for the treasury operators. But besides that kind of consideration, from a risk perspective, there's very little reason to stray from them.
Thanks, Tika.
Stablecoins is always, we expect that they're going to be stable. As we've learned in this past year, it depends on the team. Is the team willing to listen to the risk associated with its stablecoin? As we learned with Tether, that team did not want to listen, and they thought they knew better than people proposing it. So I do believe that it's just finding out how well the team has listened to the risk associated to its stablecoin and how much liquidity that stablecoin does have available to it.
Thanks, Matt.
I do want to add one thing. It's also like, I think one of the better stablecoins is something that is backed by a large amount of transactions. That's it.
Stablecoins, I'd say the risks would be regulatory, a lot of it, and if it's actually backed one-to-one. So audits would be needed, unless it's an algorithmic and trustable one. or battle tested. And as for just having holding stablecoins in general, I'd say risks would be including just decay of value, and that's about it.
You crocodile.
There are risks with every stablecoin. With centralized stablecoins like USDC and USDT, you risk the freeze function. So if some sort of regulatory attack is to occur, these tokens will be frozen in your wallet. They could then demand KYC or whatever else they'd like. But it's a very realistic risk that I see coming on the horizon. Algos, of course, it's basically just a momentum game. So risk across the board. It's about getting in early, getting out before it just collapses on itself. I don't see algos as being sustainable in and of themselves. For synths like MIM, the backing and redeemability of the backing is the most important factor. So with MIM, you can't really redeem the backing at all. You can only wait for others to repay, and so your deposit into the pool ends up being a short-term loan. Of the synths, the one I use most, the one I prefer as being relatively bulletproof is LUSD. The only backing is ETH, plenty of exit liquidity, no issues whatsoever, massive stability pool for efficient liquidations, and entirely backed by ETH. Completely decentralized, no governance, available on multiple front ends, which they don't really provide themselves, just to keep it a bit more decentralized. So it's the safest option that way. The downside is, of course, it's not really used for much. But that's my take on it.
Thank you. All right, I just see one last question from Bam Chica, and then after that, I guess we can wrap up. This question is specifically for Metal. She wanted to know, what is your DeFi-specific experience? She said, maybe I missed it, but so far I heard you mention your position in Wonderland and your finance job.
Oh, sure. I do have about 2 years of experience with DeFi. I do have a stake in Wonderland. I have stake in Binance. Those are the two networks I mostly go on. I have not used Bitcoin. The way I've looked at my investment portfolio is on staking and returns on APR. I have Pancake pools. I have taken some riskier small investment in, like, I think it's Libero and some other ones that I thought was going to be a cool project. I think I put a couple hundred dollars in Luxios. They had a cool game behind it. So I've been in the DeFi at least 2 years, and I've invested in multiple projects and spend way too much time trying to figure out which one I like. And sometimes I'll just throw some money, like 10 to 50 bucks on projects that I think are cool.
Thank you. All right, I think that's all the questions that I see submitted. Thank you all again for taking the time to come and chat with us and let the community get to know you all better. We'll be moving this forward from the RFC stage to WIP soon, and then from there it will go to vote. So we'll hopefully get to see the next steps happen soon, but we appreciate you all taking the time today. And thanks for everyone that tuned in to ask your questions and to get to know these guys better. We'll see you all in the next one.
Thanks,
Thank
Alex.
You all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.